Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, April 4th, 2021. I'm Steven Jensen. Happy Easter for those of you who celebrate, and for those who don't, happy Sunday. Hope everyone's having a great weekend, and hope everyone had a great week. Got a lot to talk about today on the Weekender Podcast, but right off the top, got a programming alert for y'all. So, of course, right now, you're hearing the Weekender Podcast, as always, on Sunday. I'll be talking about the normal stuff. I'm going to go through a list of topics right after this. And we'll jump into it. But later this week, I don't know what day it'll drop, but tomorrow I'm recording a collective preview. I'm going to be having on my friend John Mosley, aka Jumping Johnny Mosley, aka Mose. He's going to be coming on the show. He is actually one of the commentators for a handful of the shows for the collective, and we're going to do a full preview where any match that we know is happening, any shows that we know are happening, we're going to be talking about everything. We're going to be highlighting talent, giving our predictions for matches. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be available for free. So, of course, those of y'all right here at Fightful Select, you'll have an opportunity to check it out. And those of you who are listening for free, if, you know, you happen to hear this on Fightful Select, and then you happen to be browsing anywhere else at Fightful.com or the YouTube channel and that kind of stuff, you may see that on there. And please help spread the word. If you know there's anybody out there that might like this podcast, but for whatever reason, you know, they're not subscribed to Fightful Select, please let them know about this free episode we're going to be doing when it drops this week. I'll make sure to put all the links out on social media, and I know Fightful will make sure to, you know, blast all that stuff out as well. So, looking forward to that. So, stay up to date, keep your eyes and your ears open for that stuff. And I never ask for this, but drop a like on this show here at FightfulSelect.com. I always get a lot of great feedback about the show. People tell me they're listening and they really like the reviews and the stuff that I'm covering, but it's hard to tell how many people are listening. So if you don't mind, if you just hit that like button right here under the stream on FightfulSelect.com, that'd be much appreciated this week. That all being said, let's jump into the topics. There's a lot to get to, and then we'll get into all this. So on this edition of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast, we have results for Southern Underground Pro's These Are Our Lives. I talked about the show as my recommended show to watch last week, and we'll be giving the results today. Have results for Beyond Wrestling's Fool's Paradise event, MLW Fusion, Impact Wrestling, 205 Live, NXT UK, NWA Power, Ring of Honor, and a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled Contentment. I'm also going to give you some quick predictions for NXT TakeOver as well as WrestleMania, because by the time you hear me next, we'll have all of NXT will be done, and one night of WrestleMania will be done. So we'll go ahead and get all my predictions out there really quick at the end of the show, just to have them on the record for y'all. But before we get it started into all that stuff, as always, I have my recommended show to watch on independentwrestling.tv, and my recommended show this week is Action Wrestling's Royal Versailles 2. So once again, the company is called Action, A-C-T-I-O-N, and the show is Royal Versailles 2. These are the matches to expect. Took place on Saturday, March the 20th, from Tyrone, Georgia. We had Angelus Lane taking on Aaron Wade, Nolan Edward taking on Adam Priest, Killer Be Killed, the team of Brett Eisen and Akira, taking on The Good Hand, the team of Shug D and Kevin Ryan. We have Logan Creed taking on Graham Bell, and in the main event for the Action Wrestling Championship, new champion Eric Royal defends against Matt Sells. So, really great stuff from top to bottom here. I'm going to highlight some of the talent. I'm not going to deep dive quite as much as I normally do on my recommended show because, like I said, later this week, we're going to be having a full collection preview, and we're going to be deep diving on, like, no joke, probably like 100 or so wrestlers that day. So it's going to be a lot of fun to really spotlight the people we've been talking about here on the Weekender and some other names that probably kind of slide through the cracks every now and then because there's a ton of great wrestlers out there, and there's a ton of great shows out there, and sometimes it's easy to miss some hidden gems. So looking forward to that this week once again. But as far as for Action Wrestling's Royal Versailles 2, Angelus Lane and Aaron Wade, really good stuff. Angelus is one of the best female performers on the independents, and she has been for quite a while. She was a big part of why SUP got as good as it did, as fast as it did in Nashville. She was one of the first like main heels that SUP had. Aaron Wade, really solid. Like him a lot. Keeps getting better. Looking forward to more from Aaron. And it's funny because he spells his name Erron, just for the record. Like, it totally threw me off for a while. I was looking for him on social media, and I was like, oh, wait, he doesn't spell it Aaron. And then I searched Aaron Wade, and boom, there he was, Erron. Also on the show, we had Nolan Edward and Adam Priest, two of the best guys, in my opinion, on the indies right now, and two guys who are a little kind of under the radar still, but are becoming bigger and bigger names right now. Like, Nolan is just, he's crazy. This guy is, he's so good, and he's still so young, and he's willing to do deathmatch stuff. He does great, just technical wrestling. He does hard hitting. I mean, it's really fun to watch the progression of Nolan Edward. And Adam Priest won the Haas tournament this year, just a month or so ago, over at New South Pro Wrestling. And he's getting a bigger and bigger push. He's one of the best technical wrestlers, in my opinion. Definitely in, like, the Southeast, maybe in all of the United States right now. Adam Priest is a guy who, if you haven't been watching, I would highly recommend checking his stuff out, because he's incredibly talented. And I can't say enough good things about Edward and Priest. Y'all really need to check this match out. We also had Kill or Be Killed, the team of Ison and Akira, taking on Shug D and Kevin Ryan, which is a really great dynamic, because the Good Hand, the team of Shug D and Kevin Ryan, they're basically, I mean, it's like the name sounds, right? They've been told their whole careers they're good hands, but they're not ever going to, like, really be stars. And they are a great tag team together. I love the character work that they do. I think Kevin Ryan is becoming more and more of a breakout star, and he's someone we're seeing all over the place now, and somebody who's been around for quite a while, but he's just now really hitting his stride and starting to really come into his own. Shug D has been around forever, and he's always been good. The former Sugar Dunkerton and former Pineapple Pete over in AEW, but don't say that to him. He's not going to like hearing that. But yeah, I like those guys a lot. Very, very talented. I like them as a tag team, and I like that their feuds they've had with Cabana Man Dan and all that good stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on with Kevin Ryan and Shug D over in New South Pro Wrestling as well. Just great stuff all over the place from those guys. KOBK, I could say the same about. Brett Ison is the guy I think of first when I think of Nashville wrestling. Akira, guy who's very entertaining in anything he does. And most of the stuff I've seen him do has been deathmatch related, and he's very good at it. I'm becoming more and more a fan of deathmatch wrestling lately. I don't think it's ever going to really be, like, totally my jam, but it's something where I've seen so much stuff so many times at this point that, like, I used to be terrified of, that, like, I'm kind of numb to it. There's still some things that really still get me, but for instance, I was watching a deathmatch yesterday. I don't want to spoil it because I'll talk about it on a future episode of this show. But I was watching it, and as I was watching, I was like, you know what? I haven't had to turn away or look through my fingers once so far. So maybe I'm growing up a little bit on this deathmatch stuff. But Akira is very, very good at it. I love the dynamic that Ison and Akira have with the rest of KOBK, whether it be Heater or Nolan or Moe's, who once again will be on my show this week talking indie wrestling. He's a part of the KOBK crew. They just got a solid foundation there. Great guys, entertaining matches. I'll talk a little bit more about them when I get into the results for SUP here in a second. We had Logan Creed and Graham Bell, and just a banger. I mean, Graham Bell goes out there and puts on, usually if he's on the show, if he isn't in the best match of the night, he does something that always makes you remember him. Whether it's his entrance with a bazooka, or it's just something he does in the match, or the match itself. Like, I've been raving for a year now, it feels like, about Graham Bell versus Manders from Action Wrestling last year. I just really love that match. And Graham is a guy who keeps getting better. He's world-traveled, you know, unique gimmick. Very, very big fan of his. And he goes hard as hell every time he's out there. Really, really does what he can to make you remember what he does, you know, and remember him. Very, very good at that. Logan Creed, big dude with a lot of talent. We know him as Mads Kruger in MLW Under the Mask. I think he's much better as Logan Creed, personally. So I'd like to see him be more like Logan and less like Kruger on MLW, because obviously MLW has a large fan base. And it looks like they're going to be getting a TV deal soon, so I've been trying to keep up with Court Bauer to find out what's going on with that. But But yeah, very good stuff there. Big fan of both guys. I'm a big fan of literally everybody who's on this show. Lane, Wade, Edward, Priest, Aisin, Akira, Suge, Kevin, Creed, Graham Bell, and then of course the main event, Eric Royal versus Matt Sells. Eric Royal became the Action Wrestling Champion, dethroning AC Mack, who had had the title for like 2 years, and maybe more than that. I think it was like 700 days, give or take. So Eric Royal, big shoes to fill as the Action Wrestling Champion, defending the title against Matt Sells, who had a great feud with Jade Newman recently, and he is a real, what's the right word? The Action crowd loves Matt Sells. He's one of the most over baby faces that Action Wrestling has. He's a lot of fun to watch, and this was just a really good match. I mean, Eric Royal is a great champion for them. Matt Sells is a guy that the fans are just super behind, so it makes for a great world title match, and yeah, we'll see what happens with both these guys going forward, but really, really good stuff. I don't want to give away the results of the match. I just want y'all to watch it, and I want you to watch this whole show. I'll probably talk the results, well, I was going to say next week, but we're going to have so much to talk about with the collective review, so stay kind of tapped on that, because I know, once again, we'll be doing the collective preview this week, and then I'll do a full collective review probably next week, and we got to figure out if that'll be just for y'all at Select, or if we're going to do that for free. Don't know just yet, but stay tuned, and once again, stay up to date on my Twitter at @FightTalk_, and I'll make sure to post links whenever I know this stuff's going to be coming out. But once again, recommended show this week was Action Wrestling's Royal vs. Sells 2. You can watch it right now on independentwrestling.tv. And just a heads up, y'all, my code still works, FightTalk, FightTalk, but they are not doing the 5 days for free right now. I'm assuming because it's the collective weekend and that $10 per subscription from everybody, that's how they're probably paying a lot of the talent. So it totally makes sense. You know, it'd be like giving away WrestleMania for free. You know what I mean? So you won't get the 5 days for free in the foreseeable future. But if you still use the code and you want to watch the collective, use code FightTalk, FightTalk, no space, all is one word in the promo code spot. And it'll help support me and the people that help me with my podcast. I still get the same payout whether you use that code and there's the 5 days free or not. So it does really, really help. So just keep that in mind. If you're planning on watching The Collective and you haven't subscribed to IWTV, please use my code. Enjoy some pro wrestling. And it really, really helps me out and the people that help me out with my shows. So check all that out and use that code. Speaking of independentwrestling.tv, I have results for Southern Underground Pro's Are These Our Lives. This show took place on the 25th of last month, and it was from the Basement East in Nashville, Tennessee. For those of you who don't know, the Basement East was completely destroyed by a natural disaster, essentially. It was like a tornado slash hurricane that went through Nashville last year, and it literally destroyed the building. But the building's back up, it's better than ever, and I was so happy to see SUP back. My favorite independent wrestling company in the world. I know that's, I sound very biased when I say that, it's just the truth. I have a lot invested in this company on a personal level, and I am so happy to see them back in the Basement East and seeing them all succeed. So, once again, I talked about this show as my recommended show to watch last week, so if you haven't checked it out and you don't want spoilers, you're going to want to skip ahead a few minutes, but these are the results for the return of SUP. First match we had, Violence is Forever defeated the Bitcoin Boys. So we had VIF, the team of Dominic Guarini and Kevin Koo, and the Bitcoin Boys, the team of Eric Taylor and Mikey Montgomery. The finish came when VIF hit the Chasing the Dragon, which is the old, I don't know what VIF calls it, but I call it the Chasing the Dragon. It's the brainbuster head kick combo that O'Reilly and Fish used to do. Really solid for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Adam Priest defeating Damian Tangra. The finish came when Priest hit a frog splash to the back for the 1-2-3. One more time right here, I was talking about Adam Priest in the Action Wrestling preview just then, doing big things over in SUP as well. After that, we had a great match. possibly my favorite match of the whole night. It was either this or one that I'll talk about here in a second. But Alex Kane defeated Cole Radrick. I believe he calls his finisher Mark of Kane, but it's basically like, it's like an arm trap Saito suplex. It's kind of hard to describe, but he kind of traps Cole's arm in between his own legs and then hits kind of like a Saito suplex. It looks brutal. It looks really good. I love this match. Super hard hitting, back and forth, great grappling, great suplexes. Cole Radrick's one of my favorite guys in the world to watch. The guy's just got so much heart, and he just always has good matches. And Alex Kane is a guy who I think we're going to be seeing on mainstream television in the next couple years. I mean, he has the look, he has the ability. I mean, big fan of Alex Kane and Cole Radrick. Like I said, this might have been my favorite match of the whole night. After that, we had Derek Neal defeating Effie with a brainbuster. This was really good as well. Effie, of course, one of the most over wrestlers that, you know, you see out there on the indies. And, you know, he'll be doing the Big Gay Brunch over the Collective Weekend, which is a show that he's gotten a lot of praise for doing. And he does a lot for, you know, the LGBTQ plus community and all that stuff. And, you know, Effie's a very, very great performer. He's a guy who I'm a very big fan of. And he's a guy who it took me a second to warm up to, you know. He was a guy that, you know, I thought was good, and then I realized how good he really is after watching him a little bit. And I love the stuff he does with the Second Gear crew and GCW and all that, so great stuff there. And Derek Neal, he is the current New South heavyweight champion. This was his SUP debut, and he got involved later in the night as well, which I'll get to. We had Brett Eisen defeating Bastard Cassidy, got the one with the spinning back fist. Thought this match was awesome. So it was either this match or the Alex Kane versus Cole Radrick match that I'd consider match of the night. This was just hard hitting back and forth. They made Bastard Cassidy look like $1 million. I mean, to my knowledge, Cassidy only has like 20 pro matches, like total, still in his career. And he went out there and went toe to toe with Eisen, who is the gatekeeper of Southern Underground Pro, the longest reigning champion they ever had, the guy who I consider the face of the company. And Cassidy went in there and he went toe to toe with them and made me believe that Cassidy had a chance to win a couple times, which I've said it before and I'll say it again. If I go into a match knowing the outcome, like I go in knowing like, okay, Eisen's for sure going to win, but Cassidy has a couple near falls where I'm like, ooh, I think he's got him. That means they did their job. You know, they got me to believe and suspend my disbelief. So this was really good stuff. Huge shout out to Eisen and Bastard Cassidy for that one. After that, we had Jade Newman defeating Arthur MacArthur. Got the win with what I'd call a cravat STF. Looked pretty cool, and it's pretty much how it sounds. You know, I don't know what he calls the move. His regular finisher is called the first to last, which is like a running elbow to the back of the head. But he debuted a new finisher, which I think is smart. Anybody who can have a submission finisher and like a knockout type finisher, I think it's always a good option to have multiple moves that can finish matches. So, really good stuff. Jaden just keeps getting better. I talk about him all the time on this show. Dude's been wrestling since he was like 15, and he's like 22 now. And he trains wrestlers at TWE. I mean, he's just the man. And Arthur MacArthur is a real throwback character. Kind of like an old strongman. Relate him to like a Simon Gotch type character, if you remember the Vaudevillains. It's a character that probably doesn't work very well within the SUP universe, but it's also hard to know because they didn't really have fans at this thing. It was just wrestlers around the ring. So I would like to see MacArthur back, though, because he did do a really good job against Jaden. So I like this match, and I really like seeing Jaden Newman with that new finisher. Like I said, he basically did an STF, but instead of like the regular way you'd kind of wrap your hands around someone's neck for the finish or around their chin, he did it in a cravat, so I thought that was really good and innovative. I don't know if I've really seen that before. After that, we had Alley Cat defeating Cabana Man Dan. Finish came when Cabana Man Dan went for an inside cradle on Alley Cat, and Alley Cat reversed the weight and got the 3 for herself. So Alley Cat wins over CMD. Alley Cat, talk about her all the time. If I had to make a list of any female wrestler that is not currently signed to AEW or WWE, and I was to say, who's the one that I would choose right now that is not signed, Alley Cat would be my first choice. That's how highly I think of her. I think she does great in deathmatch stuff. I think she does great in regular matches. She has a unique character, unique look. She's very, very solid in the ring. She's very likable and very hateable when she needs to be. So it's, she checks every box that you're looking for. So big fan there. Cabana Man Dan, just one of my favorite guys in the indies. This guy just works his ass off, and it's great to see his recent character change, a little bit more of an edge to him, and just always good in the ring. He's the guy that I think of first when I think of New South Pro Wrestling, and he's also one of the first guys I think of when I think of Sup. He's a guy who makes a real impression everywhere, and I love that his current kind of gimmick in Sup is that he's bitter because him and Marco were a tag team called They Might Be Giants, him and Marco Stunt. And Marco has gone on to have all this success, and Cabana Man Dan's kind of been left behind. And he feels like he's just as talented as Marco, and he doesn't know kind of why everyone keeps sleeping on him. And I love that chip on his shoulder. I love the character work. Can't wait to see more from That's My Dan, Cabana Man Dan. After that, we had a great tag team match where the Lost Boys, the team of Chase Holiday and Hoodfoot Mo Atlas, defeated the team of KOBK, Killer Be Killed, Hardway Heater, and Nolan Edward. I was talking about Nolan earlier from the action show. He's literally all over the place right now. This was a really good match. I love the dynamic between Heater and Nolan because they're kind of fighting each other while fighting the Lost Boys. Like, they have this real, like, big brother, little brother type vibe between Heater and Nolan, where, like, they would use each other, like, they'd, like, use each other, like, as moves. Like, Heater would, like, pick up Nolan and, like, throw him into the Lost Boys, or, like, they'd slam each other into people, and they'd kind of be, like, pushing each other around as the match was happening. I like the dynamic there, and it's something you don't see often. Anytime that a wrestler or a team or anybody can do something that's just different and it works, two thumbs up for me. Like, go out there, try something new, and if it works, that's awesome. If it doesn't, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, you know, forget it and move on. But the things that KOBK are doing as a team, I really, really enjoy. And the Lost Boys got the win with an assisted powerbomb. Holiday through, I think it was Heater. I can't remember if Heater or Nolan took the pin. I think it was Heater. I really can't remember. But Holiday picked one of them up, kind of like the Shield powerbomb. Like, picked him up, threw him towards Hoodfoot. Hoodfoot with the big powerbomb right into the stack pin for the 1-2-3. This was good stuff. You know, personally speaking, I would have liked to see Killer Be Killed win. And that's just because they're more a part of Sup. The Lost Boys, it was cool to see them. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Hoodfoot. I think Chase Holiday is solid as well, but, like, Hoodfoot especially, that guy could be a massive star as, like, a singles guy or a tag team guy. The work he's been doing in Paradigm Pro and their UWFI rules and stuff has been awesome. Hoodfoot is a unique talent that I think can be a really, really big deal. And the only reason I say KOBK probably should have won is because I don't know how involved the Lost Boys are going to be going forward with Sup. If they're going to be heavily involved, I have no problem with this. But if they're not, I don't see a reason to beat Heater and Nolan. Just my personal opinion. But it was kind of a bummer not to see Bradley Prescott IV, who is a part of the Lost Boys. From what I understand, he's kind of doing his own thing where he's at right now. But I'd like to see him branch out more again, because I'm a big fan of his. And I love his natty daddy gimmick. He's a big fan of that natural light beer, which I drank a lot of in college, not gonna lie. In the main event of the show, we had Sup Bonestorm Championship on the line, which is the heavyweight championship of Southern Underground Pro. AJ Gray retained the title by defeating One Called Manders and AC Mack. Got the win by hitting a clothesline on Manders. Got it by hitting a clothesline on AC Mack. Because during the match, Derek Neal came out and attacked Manders, setting up a big match between those two, which will be a hoss fight when it happens. I can't wait to see Manders versus Derek Neal. I think it's going to be awesome. I know Sup recorded 3 shows at once when they did their TV tapings, so I'd imagine that we'll get Manders and Derek Neal on a future episode, either the next one we see or the one after, I'm guessing. But I love how they set that up, because Derek Neal and Manders is going to be great, and If you guys don't know about Manders, just listen to pretty much any other episode of this show that I've done, because I always talk about him at length. He's just a solid in-ring wrestler, and he's a guy who's really easy to get behind. AC Mack is one of my favorite guys in the indies, and I really hope he gets signed soon. His run with the Action Championship was legendary. He had a great run with the Sub-Bone Storm title, even though it was marred by, the pandemic, and they had all these plans for all these great stories, this big action wrestling versus sub story that they had going, and it all just got destroyed because of COVID, unfortunately, but there's nothing AC Mack can do about that. The dude is just a great worker, and he's an even better talker. Like, he's solid in the ring, but him on the mic is just money. He is so, so hateable when he wants you to hate him, and he's very likable as a babyface. It's an interesting dynamic there, too, because at Action, he's a babyface, but at Sup, he's a heel. He plays both roles very well. Even though his babyface character still kind of is what he does as a heel, except he just kind of fights heels when he's a babyface, if that makes sense. Almost like Steve Austin to a degree, right? Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin, as a heel, he got over being Stone Cold, being the heel. And he never really changed his character as a babyface. He just started fighting heels. And that's kind of how I feel about AC Mack. Two totally different characters, but the idea is the same. Where, like, as a heel or a babyface, he kind of acts the same either way. It just depends on kind of who he's attacking verbally. You know what I mean? And AJ Gray, great champion for SUP right now. One of the four pillars of SUP. If I had to pick, you know, a Mount Rushmore of the company, he'd be on there. Great to see him as the champion. He's going to have a lot of buzz going into the collective weekend, and he's going to probably have a huge collective weekend himself. The last collective that they did, which was, I think that was in Indianapolis, if I remember correctly, when they, you know, just like a handful of months ago, where AJ Gray wrestled like 10 matches and went undefeated for the weekend, I think. And, you know, he was heavily featured as a part of the For the Culture show, and he helped, you know, put that show together. I think that AJ Gray is going to have another huge collective weekend. And he's a guy that, like, I don't think we're going to be seeing on the indies for too much longer, unless he wants to stay on the indies, because I feel like he's going to get signed any day now. I really do, especially if he shows out this weekend like I expect him to. So, yeah, huge shout out to AJ Gray. And huge shout out to Southern Underground Pro. It's great to have y'all back. Can't wait till the next episode. Once again, y'all can watch that on independentwrestling.tv. And speaking of independentwrestling.tv, got some results for Beyond Wrestling's Fool's Paradise. Gonna just give you the results real quick, highlight a little bit of the talent, and keep it moving, because I'll be talking about a lot of these people this week on the collective preview. So Fool's Paradise happened on April 1st, which is April Fool's Day, hence the name, Fool's Paradise. We had Slade defeating Cam Zagami. We had Chris Dickinson defeating Richard Holiday, which is great to see. The Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickinson, who recently popped up on Ring of Honor as a team with Brody King, Homicide, and Tony Deppen. Richard Holiday, just a solid guy. I think he needs a little bit more. He's still a little generic to me, just a little bit, but he's very, very solid. And once he kind of finds his niche, I think he's going to be really, really good. We had Masha Slamovic defeating Erica Lee. Robo the Punjabi Lion defeating Logan Easton LaRue. That's a hell of a name and a gimmick there. Robo the Punjabi Lion. And Logan Easton LaRue I like a lot. He takes a lot of L's, but if he just had more size, I think he'd be a lot more people would be talking about him. He obviously doesn't have, he can't do anything about his height, but, you know, kind of like an Adam Priest, if he can just go out there and just keep outworking people, I think we'll be talking more and more about him. We had Willow Nightingale defeating Aaron Rourke, Alec Price defeating Teddy Goods, Team C-Star is a team of Ashley Vox and Delmiexo defeating Edith Surreal and Solo Darling. Shout out to all these women, and shout out to Team C-Stars. We talk about them pretty often on our Twitch streams that me and Joel Pearl do, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, during Impact Wrestling. We've been talking about it for a minute. Where are the C-Stars? Like, they were a part of the Impact Knockouts Tag Team Tournament. They did great. People like them. They're great in the ring. They're great assets. They're people you'd want on your roster. Why are they not still part of Impact? It's very confusing. Because in my opinion, they should be heavily involved. After that, we had Matt Mikowski defeating Alexander James. Mikowski is just, I feel like this guy is going to be one of the real big breakout wrestlers. I mean, a lot of people already know of him, but I think 2021, by the end of the year, we're going to be talking about Mikowski as a guy who's like either signed or going to get signed or, you know, headlining all over the place on the indies. Very, very talented guy. We had Bear Country, the team of Bear Boulder and Bear Bronson, defeating the Shook Crew, the team of Bobby Orlando and Bryce Donovan. Good stuff here as well. Bear Country, we've been seeing more and more on AEW. I think they're very solid. They got a great look. Two just believable guys. They look like they can just kick some ass. And that's always good in pro wrestling. When you see guys and you're like, oh, would never want to fight them. And then they're like really good in the ring too. And they have good characters. Total package as a tag team. Looking forward to seeing more from Bear Country on, you know, a mainstream level. After that, Max Caster defeating Slade. Max Caster, another guy we see on AEW as a part of the Acclaimed with Anthony Bowen. I think that Max Caster is super talented. It was cool to see him, you know, doing his own thing as a singles in the ladder match, that brass ring ladder match that AEW did. And I just want to see more of him. I like him on the mic. I like the way he raps to the ring. I don't view him as like a John Cena ripoff. There's a lot of obvious similarities between him and John Cena doing the rap gimmick, but I like the way that Max Caster delivers his lines, and I think his rhymes are good, and they always, the punchlines hit, and he's really, really good in the ring. Got a good look, so I think Max Caster could really be a big star. And then the main event, we had Wheeler Yuta defeating Trish Adora. Just two incredibly talented wrestlers. Wheeler Yuta, a guy I've been watching really since, I think the first time he really got on my radar was Dojo Pro, because I was there live for that. They did a studio show taping that wound up being a whole series on Amazon Prime, if y'all want to watch it. But Wheeler Yuta did great work there. He's been doing great work in Beyond. And, you know, he's all over the place now, but I feel like his real hub is kind of Beyond Wrestling, because that's where I think I've really seen him the most. And Trish Adora is one of the best female wrestlers in the world. You know, I was talking about Alley Cat earlier about how if I had to pick a woman right now that wasn't signed, like, to sign, it'd be Alley Cat. Well, Trish Adora is right there, too. She's incredibly talented. I love her finisher, the Lariat Tubman. I just think that's such a smart name for, I mean, just clever. You know what I mean? She's great, and she did great work over the collective weekend. I'm sure she will again for this collective. And, I mean, I'm really surprised she isn't signed. Like, she's really, really, really good. So, yeah, really great stuff. Really great show. Tons of great talent. Can't wait to see a lot of these people wrestling, you know, this week for the collective. So, check it out. Beyond Wrestling, great stuff. You can check all this stuff out on independentwrestling.tv or iwtv.live. And once again, if you use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK, it helps me out a lot. Check it out. Enjoy some pro wrestling over there on IWTV. Moving on, we got results for MLW Fusion. Show started off with Jordan Oliver defeating Simon Gotch. Got the win with I don't know what he calls it. It's basically like an Oss Cutter type move where he was he's like in the corner and does like a diving backwards diamond cutter for the 1-2-3. Jordan Oliver, I like a lot. There's just a few things he needs to tighten up a little bit. There's a few things, like his super kick, it needs to be a little more snug. When he's hitting these diving cutters, I don't know if it's part of it's on his opponent, to be fair, but a lot of the time it just seems like he isn't fully connecting on some of this stuff. And that's the only thing I think that can hold him back, because I think he's a great dude. Like, I like his gimmick. I like the fact that, you know, I have a lot of friends that are close to him that are constantly talking about how, you know, he spends most of his time just watching wrestling. Like, he could tell you so much about so much just obscure, random stuff because he's always watching wrestling. And I love knowing that about him. I love knowing that he's a big fan because he's very, very talented. I've seen people kind of complaining about him as like a heavyweight and stuff too. He's a bigger guy than y'all realize, I think. Shout out to Jordan Oliver. Good stuff between him and Simon Gotch. There's just a few things he needs to kind of tighten up a little bit, in my opinion. But once again, I am a big fan of his. After that, we had Myron Reed defeating Daivari. Got the one with a 450 splash. or Springboard 450 Splash, I should say. Myron Reed, one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. If you're looking, you know, strictly in ring, I think he's right there with a lot of these guys who've gotten signed recently. Like, you know, I think the world of guys like Ben Carter and Blake Christian and Alex Zane and stuff, but like Myron Reed is right there with those guys. I think he has just as much talented as them. So just as much talent as them, I should say. So, you know, huge shout out to Myron Reed. Him and Jordan Oliver as Injustice. I like the team of them a lot, like how they tag team, but I also like that they're really good as singles wrestlers. So good stuff there. And the main event I thought was awesome. We had Jacob Fatu retaining the MLW Heavyweight Championship. He gets the win over Calvin Tankman. The finish happened when Jacob Fatu hits Tankman with their flagpole and then goes up top and does his best moonsault ever, you know, the jump up moonsault for the 1-2-3. And he nailed that moonsault. You know, I've been critical in the past. I've said, you know, I think Fatu is money. I think he's one of the best workers in the world. He's one of the best kind of characters in the world. I think that he would be a lot of fun to watch in this whole Forbidden Door thing, mixing it up with AEW talent and New Japan talent and stuff. I really think very, very highly of Jacob Fatu. I think he's been a great champion for MLW. The one knock I had on him was every now and then he overshoots that moonsault where he kind of just misses, or like he lands, like he doesn't land chest to chest, he lands like head to chest and stuff. He nailed this moonsault, looked great. Thought this match was great. I really thought Tankman was going to be their next champion. I really do. I was calling for that since his debut in MLW. I was saying first chance Tankman gets for that title, I think he wins it. I was wrong, but they did a great job of protecting Tankman. This is his first loss in MLW, and it came because he got hit with a contra flag and a moonsault. So they prove that, like, Jacob Fatu, as dominant as he's been throughout his run in MLW, he needed to cheat to win to defeat Calvin Tankman. So it makes Tankman look good. I think Tankman will eventually be the MLW World Champion. But I think for now, we're going to see Fatu, you know, I really do think we're going to be seeing more Forbidden Door stuff from MLW soon. And I think Fatu is the right guy to be the champion for these stories and for these matches. But when all that's over and all is said and done, if Tankman gets a rematch, I think you got to put that belt on Tankman the next time these two square off. But right now, no issues at all with Fatu, as long as, once again, they do something with Tankman, because, you know, you have a real chance with Tankman, because he hasn't, you know, I've been watching him for a while, you know, on the indies, but, like, most people who are seeing him haven't seen him much. Like, he's a real quote-unquote homegrown MLW talent to most people that are watching the show, and that's really rare to have, like, have somebody that you can really push as, like, the face of your whole company that hasn't been the face of a company anywhere else. You know what I mean? Like, Fatu is a good example as well, but why make just one of those guys, you know, when you can make multiple? And I think Tankman can very well fill that role. So very, very good stuff. I've thoroughly enjoyed MLW pretty much every week since the restart. So, yeah, highly recommend y'all check that out. If nothing else, definitely check that main event out. I thought the Tankman and Fatu was done very, very well. Next, we have results for Impact Wrestling. You can watch our watch-alongs every week on Twitch. We've been doing them on Tuesdays. Myself, Joel Pearl, and Jeremy Lambert was there every other week. We have a revolving third as well. But that'll be moving to Thursdays. We're going to be taking this Thursday off because it'll be running parallel to NXT TakeOver, and we kind of figure most people will be watching TakeOver. So no Impact Watch Along on Twitch this Thursday, but starting next Thursday and every Thursday after, check it out. Hang out with us. It's me, Joel Pearl. Like I said, Jeremy Lambert's there when he's available. And when he's not there, we usually have a third random guest that joins us. So please hang out with us. It's a lot of fun. It's a good time hanging out. We watch the shows live, so you can see the actual Impact show, and the three of us are just hanging out on camera, answering questions, talking about wrestling. Really good time. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. So these are the results for the most recent show. We had Fire and Flava defeating Havoc and Nevaeh. Fire and Flava hit their double team for the 1-2-3. Can't remember what they call it. But, you know, this was a solid match. We've seen it fairly recently at that Impact Plus show, so nothing really new here, but definitely smart to have Fire and Flava win there. They're the right tag team champions right now, so no problems at all. After that, we had Sami Callihan defeating Larry D. Didn't think too much of this match, to be honest. Sami won the match with the Heat Seeker, which is what MJF calls it. Basically, the pile driver. Larry D is like kind of hanging across the ropes, and Sami Callihan does. If you've seen MJF do the Heat Seeker, you know what I'm talking about. But you know, there was no sign whatsoever that, you know, Sami Callihan wouldn't win this match, you know. So, just is what it is. And AC Romero attacks Sami Callihan after the match. We got some stuff between, like, highlights of Finn Juice and the Good Brothers and all that stuff. And for those of you who don't know, they're going to be doing the Good Brothers and Finn Juice at Rebellion for the Impact Tag Team titles. And I have to imagine that that the Good Brothers will be winning those titles back. Just my opinion. I don't think it makes any sense to have Finn Juice holding those Impact titles for long. Although it will be really cool to see them against Violence Is Forever over the collective weekend. We're going to have Greeny and Koo versus Juice and Finley. So MLW versus New Japan, who hold the Impact tag team titles. So pretty, pretty cool there. After that, we had Brian Myers defeating Suicide. He hits his Lariat, which he's now calling the roster cut for the 1-2-3. Before, he was calling it like greetings from Samford or something like that. It was basically a dig on Samford, Connecticut, which, you know, was where the WWE is headquartered. So yeah, solid stuff. I mean, this was kind of a glorified squash match, but of course Brian should have won, and he did, and that Lariat's looking good, so no problems there. After the match, Matt Cardona challenges Brian Myers to a match at Hardcore Justice, and Myers rejects the offer, so we'll see how that all goes. That story's going to continue. Next, we had Ace Austin and Madman Fulton defeating TJP and Josh Alexander. Got the win when Ace Austin rolled up TJP for the 1-2-3. It was after TJP hit a Mamba Splash, and he winds up arguing with Alexander. So basically, this was all used as a vehicle to, I think, get TJP and Josh Alexander into a match, and then continue on with Ace Austin. I don't know how long Chris Bay is going to be out, but that's what they were building towards, was Chris Bay versus Ace Austin one-on-one for the X Division title. Chris Bay actually beat Ace Austin the week leading up to Ace Austin winning the title. And it looked like they were going to be doing like a triple threat or a four corners or something with TJP and Josh Alexander also involved. And I think it'd be smart if they went the route that it looked like they were going on Tuesday, and they have TJP and Alexander doing their own feud, and then we have Ace Austin and Chris Bay, or Ace Austin and someone else one-on-one. After that, we saw a great promo where Don Callis is showing Willie Mack that Kenny Omega One Winged Angel video, and he's basically trying to get in Willie Mack's head. And then Rich Swann and Eddie Edwards wind up coming in and saving Willie Mack, because the Good Brothers come in and with Kenny, and they attack everybody. So they're really setting all this up, and I'll say it, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I mean, we haven't seen Rich Swann on AEW Dynamite still. Even this was Tuesday. And this past Wednesday, Rich Swann was nowhere to be found on Dynamite. They need to get him on that show so fast. Like, I know there's still like a month before Rebellion, but AEW needs to be planting some sort of seed of doubt. Like, they need to be mentioning Rich Swann could be our champion come, you know, the 24th of this month. So it's a bit mind-boggling that Rich Swann hasn't been involved in AEW television yet. And they need to figure all that out very, very soon. And the main event, and I didn't mention this earlier because I figured I'd tie it all together here at the end. We had James Storm in his 1,000th match taking on Eric Young. Eric Young had Violent by Design, the team of Diener, Rhino, and Joe Doring with him. And James Storm had Chris Sabin, Jake Something, and Wildcat Chris Harris, which I thought was incredible. That was so cool. They did a promo early, they did an interview earlier in the show where Chris Harris surprised James Storm that and told him he was going to be in his corner. And that was a mark out moment. That gave me all the feels. Good stuff. America's Most Wanted is one of the most important teams in the history of Impact Wrestling. And it was just great to see those guys on screen together. And it was great to see Chris Harris help James Storm get the win. And we didn't get any sort of weird screw job finish or something when this was the right move, for sure. Basically, what happened at the end was Eric Young was on the outside looking for weapons, and Chris Harris hits him and throws him back into the ring, prevents him from doing anything underhanded to get the victory. James Storm nails that super kick for the 1-2-3. Really well done. And I believe Eric Young was injured during this match, and I hate that because Violent by Design is just, they're just such a good group, and he's such a great leader. The only silver lining there is that Eric Young, even if he's injured, could still be there as a mouthpiece for Rhino, Doring, and Diener. So not all is lost there, but you never want to see someone get hurt, obviously, and you really never want to see it when, like, there's all these great stories happening around him. So that all being said, I really, really enjoyed this show. I really enjoyed the main event, and I loved seeing James Storm get that win, and I love seeing him and Chris Harris reunited. Just thought it was a feel-good moment for everybody. Moving on, we have NXT UK results. Started off with Valkyrie defeating Stevie Turner. Valkyrie got the win with a top rope leg drop for the 1-2-3. Thought it was really good. Valkyrie looks great. So does Turner, by the way. And this was a good match. Pretty back and forth. A little more back and forth than you might imagine, considering kind of the position and push that Valkyrie's been getting. And I like both women a lot. So really good stuff here. Great opening match. After that, we had Teoman, who I always have a hard time pronouncing that dude's name. But Teoman defeating Josh Morrell. The finish came when Teoman locked in a crossface to get the submission victory. Good stuff. We've been seeing a bit more of Morrell lately, and Teoman is someone who that I believe NXT UK is going to be heavily pushing as well. I really liked his video packages when he came in. Different kind of interesting character. So good stuff there. We got a good sit-down interview with Walter and Rampage Brown. They have their upcoming match for the title at Prelude. That's going to be in the afternoon for the U.S. audience. I think around like 3 p.m. on Thursday the 8th. So I'll give you some quick predictions for that show too after I finish these results. But they're building up, you know, Rampage Brown versus Walter. And it's interesting because, you know, Rampage Brown actually has a win over Walter from years back. And now Walter is the guy in the position where he's like the unstoppable champion. And Rampage is kind of like the up-and-comer on NXT UK. The roles have been switched. Like years back, Rampage Brown was the man, you know, on the scene out in Europe. And, you know, when he beat Walter, it was expected. But now it's like the roles have totally changed, which adds a really cool dynamic to that. And then, of course, you have Walter, who's going to be, you know, assuming he's the champion throughout the week. You got Walter versus Tommaso Ciampa for the UK title at TakeOver Stand and Deliver, which I'll give some predictions for as well. So a lot of interesting stuff going on, and Walter's going to be a very busy man this week on WWE NXT television. We got a good interview with Kaylee Ray. It gets interrupted by Amelia McKenzie. I think this is going to wind up being good. Isla Dawn, not Isla Dawn, which is how I've been pronouncing her name lately because I have donkey brain sometimes while I'm doing the results for these shows, but Isla Dawn, shout out to Jewel Pearl. He'll know why I'm giving that shout out. But Isla Dawn comes out and attacks McKenzie, and Satomura comes out, and there's just a big fight between all four women who are in the ring. So more good stuff. We'll be talking about them a little bit more once we get to the predictions here in just a second for Prelude. The main event of the show for NXT UK this week was Pretty Deadly, retaining the NXT UK tag team titles by defeating the team of Kenny Williams and Amir Jordan. They've been kind of teasing this lately. I felt like we were going to be getting a split between Jordan and Williams, and that is what we got in this match. I didn't know if it was going to happen during this match, but I kind of felt that coming. And basically what happens is Kenny turns on Amir. He hits him in the back with one of the tag team title belts, and Pretty Deadly hit Spilt Milk on Amir for the 1-2-3. So Pretty Deadly retained the NXT UK tag team titles. Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams look like they're going to be fighting each other, which I think is good. I like everything here. I think I'm still not the hugest fan of Pretty Deadly as a team, but you know, I think they're solid enough. I think there are better teams in NXT UK than Pretty Deadly, but I do like where they're going with this, if that makes sense. Like, I think they still have a lot of potential to be a really great tag team champions. And once again, I like that they've split Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams, because I think the two of them will have some really good matches against each other. And I don't think that as a team, they were really in line to, you know, to be the champions anytime soon. So I think this all just, I think it all makes sense. You know, and speaking of NXT UK and all this great stuff going on with the brand, we do have Prelude coming up, like I said, this Thursday. And let me get the card up. I think there's only been three official matches announced. We have Satomura and Mackenzie taking on Dawn and Kaylee Ray. That'll be a really good one. I mean, they've done a damn good job of protecting Kaylee Ray as a champion, and they've done a damn good job with Isla Dawn. She's always looked very strong on the show. Satomura came in with a lot of hype and, you know, lost her shot at Kaylee Ray pretty much right off the bat. So, you know, she has a lot to prove as far as, you know, staying as like a top contender with amongst the women's division. Mackenzie, I think, is very solid as well. So I like everyone involved in this one, and it's really a toss-up for me as far as who wins. You know, I think the team of Satomura and Mackenzie would gain a lot more by beating Dawn and Kaylee Ray. So it's just really hard to, just a hard one to call. I'm going to say it's a literal coin flip, and I'm going to go Isla Dawn and Kaylee Ray, and then I think the two of them will wrestle for the belt sometime soon. I think it'll be really good. After that, we have the Heritage Cup number one contender match. We got Noam Dar versus Tyler Bate. I think this match is going to be fantastic. Big fan of both guys, especially Tyler Bate. Like, I think Noam Dar has always been able to go in the ring, but I think Tyler Bate is the overall, like, he's just like the total package. Like, he's got the looks, he's got the in-ring skills. He still has youth on his side. Like, he's still in his early 20s. So he's a guy I think the WWE could really build many different brands around. Like, he was the first ever NXT UK champion, did a great job when he had that belt. He steals the show anytime he gets the opportunity on these takeovers, especially when the title's on the line. And Noam Dar, like I said, very, very, very solid wrestler in the ring. So as far as a winner, I'm going to go Tyler Bate. I think it's just the smarter move. I'd like to see them really push Tyler Bate back into the world title mix on NXT UK. And if he can't do that, if there isn't kind of room, if he doesn't really figure into their plans at the moment, I would highly recommend, I hope, especially because things are starting to open up more, I'd like to see Tyler Bate as a part of NXT on Wednesdays. And if not, as much as it could be the kiss of death for talent, I'd like to see him on Raw or SmackDown. In particular, SmackDown. You know, even though I, on a selfish level, I'd like to see him on Raw because I watch Raw on Mondays more often than I watch SmackDown on Fridays. But I think he would fit in way better on SmackDown. Like, there's a lot of people he could have great matches with, and I think he'd be great for any brand he's a part of. But I'm a huge fan of Tyler Bate. I feel like he still hasn't even hit his prime yet, and he's already phenomenal. And once again, this is nothing against Noam Dar, who I also think is very, very talented, but if I have to make a pick here, I'm definitely going Tyler Bate. It says also appearing on this show, Dragunov, Devlin, A-Kid. So I don't know how they're going to be involved yet, but there is going to be a lot of great talent on this show. And the main event is Walter versus Rampage Brown, NXT UK Championship on the line. I have to imagine Walter keeps the belt. He is starting to kind of run out of people. Although, you know, Nathan Frazier, the former Ben Carter, I've been saying a lot, I'd love to see him get kind of a slow build and a shot at Walter sometime soon. We are seeing Walter more often on NXT on Wednesdays now. You know, is that going to play a factor into this where maybe they want to take the belt off of him so he can do more in the U.S.? Or do they want him with that belt in the U.S. defending it more often? I'm going to go with the latter. I'm going to say that they keep that belt on Walter. So much of his run has happened during the pandemic, which obviously he has nothing to do with. So it's like, give him a real shot in front of fans for a long time as a long-term champion. Because there is still a lot of great talent on NXT UK that hasn't had a shot. There's still great talent that has had a shot, like Tyler Bate, that I'd like to see get another shot. There's people in NXT on every brand, all over WWE's, you know, universe that Walter could have great matches with. And I don't want to see him, I don't want to see him lose the title yet. Although I do like Rampage Brown a lot. Like, I won't be super upset if he wins the title, but I have to imagine, especially because of the build for Walter and Tommaso Ciampa, which I believe happens. Actually, let me make sure I got my timelines right. Because Walter and Ciampa is supposed to happen night one of NXT TakeOver, which is April 7th. And April 7th is Wednesday, right? So then this show I'm talking about now is supposed to be Thursday. So I guess there's an outside chance that Rampage Brown could be, just realistically speaking, right? Like, he's not going to be wrestling Tommaso Ciampa for that belt. You know, I just feel like he's... So they've put the Ciampa and Walter match in a weird place, because I feel like there's just no way Walter's going to lose to Ciampa and then, you know, not, because they just built up Walter and Rampage so much that it just feel like it just wouldn't make sense to, y'all know what I mean. Unless I'm somehow screwing these dates up, which I guess is possible. There's just so much going on for WrestleMania week that I guess I could be getting confused, but from how I'm looking at it and what I remember and what I'm looking at right in front of me, I've got to go with Walter over Rampage, and I'm also going with Walter over Ciampa, just for what it's worth. So I think it just makes the most sense. Walter retains the title twice during WrestleMania week, and then goes on to continue his reign when we get fans back. So those are the predictions for what we have confirmed for NXT UK Prelude. But I think it's going to be a really solid show, and I'm looking forward to seeing who else gets involved and what other matches kind of get announced last minute. Cause you know, those matches that I've talked about will all definitely, they'll definitely deliver in the ring. Moving on, we have 205 Live results. Show this week started off with Mansoor defeating August Gray. Got the win with an inside cradle pretty much out of nowhere. Like, August Gray was looking good. He was in control, and August Gray, Mansoor basically reverses a back, he rolls into the ring, and then, like, as they're rolling into the ring, it's just, like, this inside cradle, 1, 2, 3, just really surprising. Not surprising to see Mansoor win, considering his undefeated streak, and they've done a great job of making August Gray look very good as well, but, you know, a little confusing. I mean, it's one of those things, though, right? Like, if Mansoor is going to be one of the next big title challengers, because, you know, I'll give predictions for TakeOver at the end, but, like, we have Jordan Devlin versus Santos Escobar, so we're going to finally get a unified cruiserweight champion. I have to imagine that Mansoor is going to be getting the winner of that, if not first, really soon. So I understand continuing to build Mansoor and his undefeated streak. Would I have done it at the expense of August Gray? I don't know. I mean, Mansoor beating August Gray, it looks really good for Mansoor. And it doesn't really hurt August Gray, but I guess my point more so is that they've done a very good job lately of building August Gray also, and they could have really had more of a scenario. Like, this happens in the UFC. There's times where there's certain, like, title eliminator fights when I'm not super stoked that they make the fight. For instance, this fight here, or this match here between Mansoor and August Gray. The way that I look at it is, you have Mansoor continuing to win, and he gets a title shot soon. You have August Gray continuing to win. They don't wrestle each other, but August Gray would get maybe the winner of Mansoor versus whoever the champion is. And August Gray doesn't have to really take any losses to anybody on the way there. So I know I might be nitpicking a little bit, but the point really is, like, Mansoor didn't need to necessarily beat August Gray. He could have beaten really anybody else, because they've done such a good job of building August also. I think that all makes sense, right? And then in the main event of the show, which was the only other match we had, tag team match, Bali Rise defeated the team of Arya Daivari and Tony Nese. This was the team of Chase and some, I can't remember. I think it was Sunil and Chase were the tag team in this one. But everybody winds up getting involved. Like, Sunil's involved in the match. You know what I mean? So we saw all of Everrise. We saw all of the Bollywood boys involved in this one. The finish came when, that's right, Samir distracted Arya Daivari, and basically they're arguing with each other, and then Sunil winds up rolling up Arya for the 1-2-3. So it was Sunil and Chase as the team, and yeah, they get the win. I mean, it was an okay match. Everybody involved in this show is all solid wrestlers. There's just very, very little stakes in these. Once again, the biggest takeaway here is they're continuing to build Mansoor. Tony Nese and Arya Daivari continue to be, you know, kind of gatekeepers of the show. They continued the stories between Bollywood boys and Everrise. So I guess mission accomplished, but just really not a whole lot going on the brand at the moment. And so much of what's important about 205 Live has been going on outside of 205 Live, right? Because we have, you know, basically a few throwaway matches, if we're being honest, for the most part, you know, in the recent weeks of 205 Live. And then outside of 205 Live, we have like the build for Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar and all that stuff. So it just really feels like most of the important things for the brand aren't actually happening on the brand. So that'd be kind of the real nitpick that I have there. But outside of that, you know, if you want to watch some solid wrestling, like I always say, I mean, 205 Live has, you know, they got good matches, but just, I really wouldn't feel like you're missing a whole lot if you missed this week. Moving on, we have results for National Wrestling Alliance. So we had a bunch of stuff that was like basically setting things up. We had some stuff between Nick Aldis and Aaron Stevens, you know, talking about what happened at Back for the Attack. We had build up for a match that we're going to be talking about that happened on this show, where Chris Adonis, who lost to Trevor Murdoch at Back for the Attack, is going to get a shot, no disqualification, for the title against Murdoch on this show. When we got into the actual matches, opened up with Slice Boogie defeating Jeremiah Plunkett. Finish came with what he calls the dead ass driver, but it's a Gotch style pile driver for the 1-2-3. Slice Boogie, you can tell they got big plans for him, so no surprise with the result here. I think the guy's solid, and he's a guy that I really didn't know like anything about pre-NWA, which is pretty rare, to be honest, with how much, you know, how close attention I pay to, you know, so much of the indie scene. So it's kind of refreshing too. Like, I didn't really know much about him. He's been really impressing me, so, you know, shout out to Boogie. After that, we had Tyrus with Austin Idol in his corner defeating Matthew Mims. The finish came when Tyrus hits a choke slam for the 1-2-3. The choke slam was very, y'all just need to watch it. This match was not very good. I'm just going to be totally honest here. Just not really good stuff. Tyrus is going to get a lot of criticism, I think, from the NWA fans. Like, he got a lot of it just even being a part of the show, but then he's going in here and it just wasn't a good match. I mean, like, Tyrus was in there with just doing like nerve holds and like I said, you got to see the choke slam to understand what I'm saying about it. Like, it's just one of those things. So not a good showing. I'll just stop that there. After that, we had Thunder Rosa and Alex Gracia defeating Sky Blue and Genocide. They got the win by DQ. Basically what happened is Rosa was, you know, looking like she was going to be getting all the momentum back for her team, gets the hot tag, and Camille runs out, nails a spear, causes the disqualification, and Melina was on commentary during this match, and then her and Camille start going at it, and, you know, they're building up Melina and Camille, and they're still continuing kind of the feud between Thunder Rosa and Camille, which I like a lot. There's a lot of good female talent in the National Wrestling Alliance right now. I like Alex Gracia a lot. She was a part of this, and I've been seeing her kind of all over the place lately. I mean, good talent here, and I have no problem with the disqualification. This match was literally used to continue to build storylines, so no issues at all. And I'll say it again, I said it last week. I think Camille is great as far as, I would put the NWA Women's title on her for sure. Like, I like Serena Deeb a lot. I think she's done a great job as the champion, but I think the time is definitely right for Camille to hold that title. She checks every box you'd be looking for in a star, and she presents just something totally different than a lot of these other women that they have. And she's improved so much over the last couple of years. So, I love Serena Deeb, I love Thunder Rosa. You can't go wrong with either of them as champion ever. But it'll be cool, I think, to see Camille as the champion and see what she can really do. Because, like I said, I mean, she looks like a star. She carries herself like a star, and she's having, damn good performances. I thought her match with Thunder Rosa at Back for the Attack was really damn good. Moving on, the main event of the show, we had Chris Adonis defeating Trevor Murdoch to become the new National Wrestling Alliance national champion. The finish came when Adonis basically locks in a master lock and just holds it until Murdoch passes out. A lot of things had been used in this match. I mean, they were fighting all over the place, out of the ring. Murdoch was wearing a neck brace, you know what I mean, when the match started. So it's, that was a big part of the storyline, by the way. Murdoch's neck was injured, and that was also part of the reason why, Adonis was targeting the master lock. So yeah, and then Adonis winds up actually joining Strictly Business, the stable, and Tim Storm looked pissed off because he was out there. And so, anyways, good stuff from NWA. They've really been killing it, in my opinion, since Back for the Attack, which once again was a show that I really, really enjoyed. And I think Power's been really good so far. And I think the National Wrestling Alliance provides a legitimate alternative to a lot of what you see on mainstream wrestling. So, I know there's people that'll disagree. There are plenty of people that, the NWA just isn't for them. But personally, I like it, and I think it totally has a place in the landscape of pro wrestling right now. Moving on, we got some results for Ring of Honor. Started off with Mike Bennett taking on the Beer City Bruiser. The match gets thrown out. It winds up being a no contest. The Beer City Bruiser grabs a bottle from under the ring, and basically he's trying to attack Bennett with it, and that's what causes the no contest. And Matt Taven winds up coming out afterwards. He super kicks Bruiser. So Taven and Bennett, are standing there, victorious at the end of this whole segment. So, once again, it really didn't matter if there was a winner or a loser in this one. This match was strictly to continue to build the story between Taven, Bennett, and Bruiser, and everything going on there. So, no problem. And the only other match we had on the show was a Pure Rules Gauntlet match that I thought was pretty damn awesome, and it involved a lot of pretty damn great wrestlers, some of my favorite wrestlers out there. The show started off with Caballero and Ferrara. Ferrara winds up getting the 1-2-3 with a it was like a double it was so basically it's like a double like takedown in amateur wrestling. And then that brings out world famous CB, who used to be known as Cheeseburger. He's out for the next round of this gauntlet. CB winds up actually pinning Ferrara after a power bomb. And then we get Eric Martin coming out. Eric Martin winds up actually tapping out to a leg lock. But it was interesting because CB has his legs around Martin's arms and also has a leg lock. Very, very hard to explain, but nice submission hold. And CB's looking great so far, as far as the Pure Rules go. Wheeler Yuta comes out next. Wheeler winds up hitting a DDT off the top rope to get the pin on CB. more good stuff here. You know, Cheeseburger has never been like my favorite wrestler. Like, he's a guy that I feel like he's kind of it's almost like a niche audience for a lot of his stuff because of kind of his size and the moves that he does. But, you know, if you know his backstory and you've seen him wrestle, he does have quite the fan base. And Yuta, you know, I talk about a lot. I talked about him at the beginning of this show. He's a guy who I love seeing as a part of Ring of Honor because he's been so great on the indies for, you know, a while now, and it's just good to see him. I think the Pure Rules really helps him out as well. But nonetheless, you know, Yuta does get the pin on CB after a DDT jumping off the top. And then the last round of this, Fred Yehi comes out, and Yehi winds up actually getting Yuta to tap out to a leg clutch for the 1-2, or sorry, for the tap out. I said the 1-2-3, but for the tap out. So Fred Yehi wins this whole thing, which again, filled with some great talent. And I love that Yehi won this. He's a guy that I've been saying week after week, whenever I get the chance, when we're talking Ring of Honor or the indies, really, he's one of the best technical wrestlers in the world. He's a guy I've watched for years now. I've loved his work in Action Wrestling and SCI and really anywhere I've seen him. And I love that he's getting a chance in Ring of Honor because I think he would be perfect for the Foundation Stable. I would love to see, I know I bring up these names a lot, but I'd love to see Lee Moriarty involved. I'd love to see Daniel McCabe involved. I mean, there's a lot of really great technical wrestlers out there that could really be a part of this and really make this whole like Ring of Honor roster right now really special, especially when it comes to the pure division and all that stuff. So yeah, really good stuff. And I'm so happy to see Yehi win this match. The guy is so good and he's been slept on for far too long. He's a guy that I feel like maybe his size has held him back a little bit, but he's so damn good in the ring that just overcomes everything. You know, similar to a guy like Daniel Bryan. Like, Daniel Bryan never had the size, but because he was so damn good in the ring, it just never mattered. And that's how I feel about Fred Yehi. Like, I hold him in very high regards. He's one of my favorite independent wrestlers in the world, and I love seeing that he's been doing more and more with Ring of Honor lately, so huge shout out to Fred Yehi getting the win in that gauntlet for the main event of Ring of Honor TV. All right, we got a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode. This one is titled Contentment. See what happened this week. I watched it last night, actually, so got some notes here. Show starts off with Private Party. They have their drink, their liquid, whatever you want to call it. It's basically like their alcoholic beverage that they've been talking about and drinking and using the last couple weeks. They're basically talking about how it's weird that Butcher, Blade, and Bunny are a part of Hardy's stable now. And they wind up talking about Darby Allin a little bit. And yeah, it's just basically... And basically, Matt Hardy explains to them that the way that he got Butcher and Blade to buy into his group was he was broken Matt Hardy and was talking to them about like other universes and stuff. And then Private Party is like, I thought broken Matt was gone. And he's basically saying that he can shift characters like a chameleon because you know, he can basically change characters on a seconds notice to basically get whatever he needs out of people. And I thought that was interesting because he was clearly doing it to Private Party as he was explaining it, but they didn't really realize it. So kind of interesting. You know, I don't really love that this big group that Matt Hardy's been putting together. Like, I like the pairing of him and Private Party, but then when you're adding in Butcher, Blade, and Allie, and you're also adding in Vicky and Nyla, it gets a little convoluted, and it's just kind of a strange group. But hey, it's AEW. Maybe, you know, they're very good about their long-term plays. So, like, I don't want to really reserve too much judgment, but on kind of first glance, and I know he's kind of building an army to battle the Dark Order. There's a lot of members of the Dark Order. I'm sure that has something to do with it. But anyways, that's how the show started off on Being the Elite this week. After that, we just see a bunch of clips of people on the AEW roster skateboarding because, you know, they were gifted a whole bunch of boards recently. I believe they were from Tony Hawk and Birdhouse, and they put a bunch of them together, and we're seeing Angelico and Nemeth and Darby and Brian Cage and everybody. They're all doing tricks and whatnot. So, I mean, it was fun to watch. After that, we have Marco Stunt talking to Griff Garrison, who is not Jungle Boy. And he says he wants to be someone to do, like, he wants to do, like, something, be the first to do something. And basically, Marco is talking about the Spanish announce table, and Alex Abrahandes is behind them, and he's drinking the purple Kool-Aid still, which I think is very interesting because that, like, heavily implied Dark Order, but that hasn't been seen or used on AEW television at all. It's just confusing. But basically, the moral of the story here is that Marco and Griff are talking about putting people through the Spanish announce table, but they're kind of confusing what the word Spanish announce table and secondary announce table actually means and stuff. Yeah, just is what it is. They want to put someone through the Spanish announce table. After that, we see the Dark Order. They're all hanging out in their lair or their hangout, whatever you want to call it. They're talking about how John Silver recently lost his match to Darby Allin for the TNT title. And because his arm is hurt, he might need a whole new arm. So Dark Order is basically trying to figure out which one of their arms they're going to give to John to sacrifice over so that John Silver can have two good arms. After that, we get a Public Swole announcement. Big Swole talking about, you know, making sure when you're wearing your mask, you're not wearing it underneath your nose or wearing it over your nose. I've said this before, I'll say it again. These Public Swole announcements are just cringe. The message in this one was pretty good. You know, you do want to wear your mask over your nose, but I don't know. It's either her delivery. I don't know what it is. Like, these things just have never been funny to me. I don't know if they're even meant to be funny, to be honest. Like, they come across like legitimate PSAs, but you can tell she's kind of trying to be funny with it, but like, it just isn't funny. So that's all I'll say about that. I've never been a fan of the Public Swole announcements. And that continued this week. After that, we have more Dark Order, and they're holding Five down, and they're trying to cut his arm off with a chainsaw. And Silver walks in and says that he doesn't want, he doesn't want Five's arm because Five has, you know, small arms, and he's got, you know, the muscular arms and all that stuff. And then they pretend to cut his dick off, basically, and a fake shrimp, you know, or not even fake, it was an actual uncooked shrimp that hit the ground in the camera. That they've been joking about Five having a shrimp dick on episodes of this show. So that's what that whole joke was. After that, we have Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, more dick jokes. But this week, Anderson actually warns the viewers, which I thought was actually kind of funny, because it's like, even they know that the fans, most of us don't like these segments, just think that they're really cringe and not funny also. Which once again was this week. I just thought it was cringe and not funny. Gallows is just all butthurt that he can't jack off, essentially. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. Anderson is happy though, cause they've been winning matches, and Gallows, you know, flicks him off and just not funny. After that, we have the conclusion of the episode, which was actually really good. And these are the kind of issues I have with being the Elite. You know, Dark Order, usually pretty funny stuff. You know, there are certain running jokes that have worked really well. But then there's all this other stuff that just isn't good. Like all the Gallows and Anderson stuff, the Public Swole announcements, the Nyla and Vicky and Ryzen as nuns stuff. You know, there's a lot of stuff, and it's unfortunate that there's so much stuff that will like push people away from not watching the series being the Elite. But there are things like what I'm about to talk about that are very important, like in that help develop storylines, and that are things that I think people would really want to watch on a weekly basis if they didn't have to deal with all the really stupid stuff surrounding it. So basically, Brandon Cutler is in the locker room and he's talking to the Young Bucks, and he's basically telling the Young Bucks, like, they're not the same Matt and Nick Jackson that, you know, that started AEW. He thinks that the Young Bucks are just content with how successful they've been, and basically their whole mindset just has completely changed since the beginning of AEW to now. And he even says, like, you know, the stuff that Don Callis was saying to them, like, maybe it's true. Like, these guys really do need to look in the mirror and really decide who they are and, you know, who they want to be for AEW and for their careers. And Brandon Cutler also says, you know, being the elite has basically just turned into Dark Order. And I mean, he spits a lot of truth in this, and it makes the Young Bucks really like consider, you know, and it's cool storyline wise, because they're at this fork in the road where it's like, do they, and they've been playing this off on, playing this up rather on Dynamite as well. But like, they're in a position right now where it's the Young Bucks have to decide, are they going to keep being good guys, or are they just going to lean in and join up, like fully join up with Kenny and the Good Brothers and like kind of be who they were pre-AEW. So these kind of things are the reasons why I think being the Elite are worth watching each week. But once again, it was a very 50-50 episode. Like, half of it I thought was really well done. Half of it I thought was really, really bad. All right, let's do some quick predictions, and then we'll get out of here. So, gonna give you some just quick predictions. NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, and then I'll do some quick ones for WrestleMania 37, just to get them up there on the record for y'all. I'm not gonna go into serious detail on these. I'll be doing full predictions. Hopefully I'll do one with Jesse this week. I'm sure I'll do some with Doug this week. Just stay up to date on my Twitter. Whenever I'm going live on YouTube or Twitch or anywhere else, I always make sure to post links on my Twitter. But these are just some quick predictions. I'm just gonna list off names who I think are gonna win these matches. So night one, I'm gonna take Pete Dunne over Kushida. I'm going to take MSK over Grizzled Young Vets and Legado del Fantasma. I'm going to take Bronson Reed to win the six-man gauntlet eliminator, which is also including Leon Ruff, Swerve, Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, and LA Knight. The winner will wrestle Gargano for the NXT North American Championship on night two. I'm going to take Walter over Tommaso Ciampa to retain the NXT UK Championship. I'm going to take it's tough. I'm going to take Raquel Gonzalez, to defeat Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship. Io Shirai is probably my favorite overall female wrestler in all of the WWE. If I'm counting NXT, Raw, SmackDown, NXT UK, like, she's my favorite. I think she's the most, she just comes off like such a star, and people really get drawn to her. And she's so great in the ring. She got a great look. Huge fan of Io Shirai. But I think they're at kind of a point right now where, you know, they've done a really good job building Gonzalez. She looks pretty darn unstoppable. You know, Rhea Ripley just moved to Raw. They can really kind of fill that gap that Rhea Ripley is kind of leaving by, you know, moving to Raw. So I'm going to say we get Gonzalez as the new champion, but like, I have no problem at all if Shirai retains. And I won't have a problem at all with Gonzalez either, because I think she's very, very talented. And I think her becoming champion is a long time coming. Night two, we have, I'm going to take Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart to retain the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships over The Way, the team of Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. I'm going to take Johnny Gargano to retain the title, the NXT North American title, regardless of who the opponent is. But like I said, I took Bronson Reed to get that match, but I'm going to take Gargano to retain. I'm going to say that Santos Escobar wins the ladder match over Jordan Devlin to become the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Champion. I'm going to say Kyle O'Reilly defeats Adam Cole in the unsanctioned match. And I'm going to say Karrion Kross defeats Finn Balor to become the two-time NXT Heavyweight Champion. Moving on to some quick predictions for WrestleMania. Night one, I haven't looked at most of this card, so this will all be kind of new to me. I'm going to say Bianca Belair over Sasha Banks to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. I'm going to take Cesaro over Seth Rollins. I'm going to take Braun Strowman over Shane McMahon. I'll take AJ Styles and Omos to defeat The New Day, Kingston and Woods, to become the new Raw Tag Team Champions. I'm going to take Bad Bunny over The Miz. And I'm going to take, I really want to see Bobby Lashley retain the title, but if I'm making a prediction, I got to go Drew McIntyre. Heart says Bobby Lashley, mind says Drew McIntyre. I want to see Lashley retain, but I think predictions-wise, I got to pick Drew. Night two, I'm going to say Riddle retains the U.S. Championship over Sheamus. I'm going to take Kevin Owens over Sami Zayn, and I believe Sami Zayn's going to actually have Logan Paul with him, which I think is actually pretty cool. I'll take Big E to retain the Intercontinental Championship over Apollo Crews in a Nigerian drum fight, whatever that exactly is. I'm going to take... I'll take Bray Wyatt over Randy Orton. The Fiend over Randy Orton. I'm gonna go Rhea Ripley over Asuka to become the new Raw Women's Champion. And I'm gonna say Edge wins the WWE Universal Championship by pinning Daniel Bryan. I wanna see Roman Reigns retain. I wanna see him leave WrestleMania as the champion. I think it makes the most sense, but what I can see them doing is I could see Edge pinning Daniel Bryan to win the title, and then Roman Reigns beats Edge for the championship like a month or two from now on pay-per-view, and that puts everything kind of back in order and keeps building us towards an eventual, you know, Roman Reigns Rock showdown like a year from now. But I don't think it would hurt too bad if Edge won the title to kind of complete the story of him winning the title 10 years to the day of his last WrestleMania, outside of last year, but when he had to, you know, give up the world title. So I think story-wise, Edge wins, but then loses the belt one-on-one to Roman Reigns, you know, within the next couple months. So that's going to do it for the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Keep in mind that there's going to be a free edition of this show dropping later this week, doing a full collective preview, so keep your eyes and ears open for that. And if you want to check out the collective on independentwrestling.tv, use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK_, FIGHTTALK, no space, and put that in the promo code spot. You won't get 5 free days during the collective, but you will still help out my podcast and the people who help me with my show a ton. So I've been Steven Jensen. Until next time, enjoy some professional wrestling.